Thanks, Sam, and good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be with you all. So this morning, we're going to look at strong foundations for living. It's a subject that I hope will challenge us, make us think, and help us as we patiently wait the return of Jesus. And as Christadelphians, that's the time that we're waiting for, the return of Jesus to the earth to set up God's kingdom. It's what we commit our lives to, becoming a disciple and living our lives in the way the Bible lays out for us. And when that time comes, those who have believed and were baptized, if they've died, then they'll be raised again. We call it sleep because it's a state of sleeping. If they fell asleep in Jesus, they'll be raised for the day of judgment. And we'll have to give an account of our lives. And then by God's grace, we pray that we'll hear Jesus say, "Enter into the kingdom, my good and faithful servant." If you open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. And this tells us what we've just spoken about. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And if you just scroll down to the bottom in verse 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." So the righteous into life eternal, this is the kingdom age. There will be no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more pain, and no more death. And that is what we are living our lives for as Christadelphians. If we live our lives following the example of Jesus, then by God's grace, we will inherit that amazing gift. So how can we do that? Well, we get to this point by reading God's word, the Bible. We need to be building a knowledge and an understanding. We need to believe what the Bible teaches. And we need to put our full faith in God. If we have started to do those things, then we'll start be thinking about baptism. And this is a full submersion of the body in water. It's a public declaration of your faith and what you're committing to. And then you start your baptized journey as a brother or sister. I'm sure you'll agree, but over the last few years, it's been very interesting, hasn't it? We've watched with great intrigue. We've seen COVID. We've seen incredible heat waves. We've seen just in this last week, dreadful flooding and earthquakes. We saw the death of the Queen after a 70-year reign. We've seen war in Ukraine. We've seen Russia strengthening relationships with China and North Korea this week. There's the cost of living crisis. We've had multiple prime ministers. And we've witnessed so much, haven't we? And we can't document it all now. But what we can do is consider our own foundations in our life that will help us to build from. Because if we look around this world, it is anything but stable, is it? And if Christ remains away, then we will be entering a very rocky period. So this talk is really to look at some examples that we can use to build strong foundations in this chaotic world. So flick back to Matthew chapter 13, please. Matthew 13 and verses 1-9. So I'll just summarize it. Jesus tells his disciples and his followers in the crowd a parable, and it's the parable of the sower. The sower sows a seed. Some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and ate them. Some fell on the stony places, where there wasn't much soil, and they sprang up too quickly. But as soon as the sun came out, they were scorched, because they didn't have any deepness of root, and they withered away. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And some of the seeds fell on the good ground, and they grew and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. And Jesus ends the section in Matthew, in verses 1-9. He ends it with, "He who hath ears to hear, let him hear." So why are we looking at that? Well, so far we've considered what Christadelphians are living their lives for. We are waiting for the return of Jesus to set up the kingdom on earth. We've seen that we need to be baptized and live our lives in the right way, according to the Bible's teaching. And the parable of the sower ties in nicely to strong foundations. Jesus goes on to explain the meaning in verse 19. That the seed that falls by the wayside are those that hear the word of God, but they don't understand it. And therefore, when something different comes along, they go after that, or they go after the next big thing. The seed that fell in the stony places are those that hear the word. They receive it with joy. They get excited. But as soon as things get a bit harder, people might make fun of them, even start to persecute them. Then they get offended and they go away. That there's no deepness of root, so they wither. The seed that fell amongst the thorns are those that hear the word of God, yet the joys of the world are too much for them. For example, the love of money might take over and it chokes them. They aren't strong enough in their faith. And we have the seed that fell on the good ground. And they're the people that hear the word. They love the word. They put their full faith in God. They understand what they hear. They listen carefully. And they bring forth fruit. So which parts do we fit in? We're all on life's journey. We're in this room or online, and we hear the word of God. We can gain an understanding to the point where we can be baptized. Those of us in here who are baptized, can we remember back to the day of our baptism? The joy that we felt and all the other emotions we had. And from that point, our journey as a baptized brother or sister starts, doesn't it? And that's where the parable of the sower, we have to be really wary about it, don't we? We don't want to be in that category of those falling by the wayside. We don't want to be those who listen and act too quick and get scorched. We have to be strong enough in our faith to overcome all those distractions of the world. And that's where we are, aren't we? We're in a world full of distractions that can quite easily take us away from what we should be doing. We need to be mindful of those thorns around us. So it is challenging for us. And we'll take a bit of a deeper look at ourselves. How deep are our foundations? That's what we want to consider. You all know where you fit into that parable. Hopefully, we're in the good ground. So, strong foundations. We have to go to Matthew chapter 7. We didn't have a reading, so I'll just read this to us. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Many of us will know that passage really well. Others may not. But I have a couple of questions to ask. You don't need to shout out, but don't look down at your Bibles. Just see if you know the detail without looking. The first question is this. Did the storm hit both houses? The answer is yes, it did. The second question is, can you remember the three elements of the storm? Rain, wind, and flood. So why was Jesus telling this parable? Did Jesus have an issue with the building trade at the time? Well, we know builders all have different reputations, don't they? They do jobs to a different level of skill. But why did Jesus tell this story? Well, Jesus said something specific. They both heard his words. One acted, one didn't. Whoever hears my words and does them is like the man who built his house on the rock. Those who hear the words and do not do them is like the man who built his house on the sand. The point is, we have to read our Bibles so carefully. We can quite easily read that at a fast pace, can't we? But when we actually slow it down and look at it, the storm hit both houses. Both the men heard the word. One acted and one didn't. And great was the fall of the house that fell. We can sometimes think that the man who built his house on the sand had never heard of Jesus and was building in ignorance. But that wasn't the case. They both heard. One built on strong foundations, the other didn't. And that's the key point of our talk, isn't it? And for our lives today, the man who built his house on the sand made a very conscious decision to listen and then completely reject what he had heard. Are we listening? Most important question. Are we then doing? And this is why this parable is challenging. Because we can come week by week to this place, can't we? And listen and understand. But when we leave those doors and go back into everyday life, do we then put into action what we've heard? If we have a good builder come over to our homes, give us a quote for doing some work, we can normally see a bit of a difference, can't we, between a good builder and one not so good. A good builder, they turn up when they say they're going to turn up. The building work is good. Things don't leak. It lasts a long time. We know when we've seen a good builder. And when we have a bad builder, they don't turn up on time, if at all sometimes. Mess everywhere. Loud bangs. You don't know what's going on. They're not getting paid in cash. These are just two stereotypes, aren't they? But I imagine if we all had the choice, we'd all go with number one, the good builder. So if we always would go for that first choice, we wouldn't be foolish, would we, and go with that second builder. When it's as simple as that and you know the facts, it's quite an easy, clear-cut decision, isn't it? It's easy to distinguish which one to use. There's nothing else influencing that decision. But what if we then had some people speak to us in a bit more detail about that bad builder? They may say things like, we used them. They were fine. They had no problems. They were a lot cheaper. It was great. If I was you, use them. What do you start thinking? We start picturing maybe saving that extra money, putting it towards something else. Well, if they've used them, then they must be okay. And that's where we need to be a bit careful, isn't it? That's when those weeds might start coming up to choke us. That they hinder and influence our decision, our choices. And that could really weaken our foundations. When we make other life decisions, we have all that influence of the world all the time around us. And it makes it harder. The parable again, the main features, there is houses, a man who is wise, a man who is foolish, Jesus, and the storm. Did the storm hit both houses? Yes, it did. And that's another fundamental point, isn't it? That it's a structure for people's lives here. Storms do come. We've had lots, haven't we? We've seen lots in the news as well. We can face all types of bad storms, mentally, sometimes physically. And when those storms do come, that's when our foundations show. And that's where we need to rely on our structure. So we ask our question, what is our internal structure like? If we stripped away everything, what is it like? And the point is that on the outside, we can look like we're doing the right thing, can't we? We're all here today doing the right thing. But if that storm came and exposed all our internal foundations, how many of us in here would still be standing? Hopefully all of us. But we need to think about these things. And just because we've been here today, and most of us are baptized, it doesn't mean that the storms won't come. Sometimes they will come and they will be devastating. And I just want you to picture your own home. Picture your life. Picture everything that you have and what you use and what you use your time for. And think about what influence all those things have on that and in the decisions that you then make. Think of all those things that make up the structure of your life. And while you're thinking of that, we can think of impressive buildings. I mean, think of the Shard in London, for example. Skyscrapers in America. In Dubai, they're all amazing, aren't they? They're tall and crisp and modern and stunning. But there is a building in the world that's a bit different. Unlike the Shard and these fancy buildings that have got all their internal workings hidden away. You may have been there, some of you, but the Pompidou Centre in Paris. It's a building that has all those internal workings exposed on the outside of the building. So everyone can see it. And then if we relate that back to us, we have everything on the inside out. What does that look like? We don't really want to have any of that ugly stuff on show, do we? But this is how God views us. God looks on the inside, on our hearts. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says this. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on his height, or his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So we've asked some difficult questions. What does our structure look like? Our talk is based on strong foundations for living. And the first key point that we saw was we have to be able to listen. We have to listen to the word of God, read our Bibles and understand what it's trying to say. And then we must act. There's no point reading the Bible and then ignoring what it says. Otherwise, we become just like the man who rejected Jesus and built on the sand. And then we took it to the next level, didn't we? Looking at the structure of our lives and asking some really challenging questions. What does our internal structure look like? Will it be able to weather those storms that hit us? Or would it fall down? And God looks at our structure. He looks on our hearts. We thought about the homes that we have and everything in it and how all of that stuff can influence us. We can think about the people we keep company with, what we spend our time doing. How all of these areas affect our strength and our structure. We may have many possessions in our homes. A lot of us own a lot of things. And sometimes we've got rooms full of stuff, a room dedicated as a dumping ground. And before we know it, we've got stuff shoved everywhere. Certainly with children, I'm noticing that a lot more. And now we're even in a situation where people pay. They pay money to store their stuff outside of their home. I wrote this talk many years ago, but the self-storage business at the time was about £300 million, now near on £1 billion. So you can see the growth over 4 or 5 years. We're certainly in a time where people have too much stuff and they don't know what to do with it, but it all influences us. It all keeps penetrating our structure, doesn't it? Just come over, please, to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he has. There are loads of points we can take from this parable. There's another foolish man, isn't there? He was a man that was lazy. God had blessed him with a good crop. And God isn't saying having money is a bad thing. Just don't put your trust in it. Because it can just be taken away, just like that. And this man fell into the trap, didn't he? He tore down old barns and built bigger and greater. I wonder if there's any foundations to those buildings. And use it to store all of his fruits and goods. If we looked on his internal structure, I wonder what we would find. He's then lazy, isn't he? He puts all of his trust in those barns and everything that he's stored up and thought he'd be fine for many years. He'd just take it easy and eat and drink and be merry. How many of us have ever had those thoughts enter into our head that it'd be nice to have a lot of money so I don't have to work and just go on holiday all the time? But God said to him, you fool. And God tells him, tonight, you're going to perish. You're going to die. And then whose is that stuff going to be? He who has treasures for himself is not rich towards God. This man wasn't working for God, was he? He was building for himself so that he could have an easy life. Are we building for God? As we bring our thoughts to a close, let's continue and read Luke chapter 12 and verse 22. Verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And continue reading down, considering the lilies and how they grow, and even Solomon, in all his glory, is not arrayed like one of those. We have the repetition again. Seek not what ye shall eat in verse 29. What ye shall drink, neither be of a doubtful mind. Again, when we're strengthening our own structure, it's great advice, isn't it? We should be as Christadelphians, living our lives in faith. We haven't seen these things. We haven't seen Jesus. But we read our Bible, we listen, and then we do. We can't have faith if we have a doubtful mind. That creates a very unsafe structure, wouldn't it? It creates uncertainty. Uncertainty creates weakness. And then that sometimes makes us vulnerable. We need our structure to stand tall in the storm. We remember all our various prime ministers and what uncertainty does. We don't have to remember back to Liz Truss, do we? And the impact that in a moment, that the chaos that caused in world markets. And we see the uncertainty of what the war brings daily. So some comforting verses in verses 30 and 32. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But the world, we know, is full of distractions. They can affect us. It can affect our structure. And these distractions can be a bit like dry rot. If you have a house with dry rot, you're in all sorts of problems. It's a wood decay that digests the wood and it takes away all of its strength. So that our nice, strong structures in the truth can sometimes be vulnerable, can't they? Houses take a lot of maintenance. You need to spend time and sometimes money keeping them in a good state. But it's the same for us as lives as disciples. If we've committed our lives to it, then we need to keep up a strict maintenance program. If we have yet to commit our lives, then a bit like buying a house, you need to invest in a good survey. You need to know the facts. You can take people's advice, but at the end of the day, it's your decision if you go through with it. Those of us who have committed, are we keeping up with that maintenance? Remember the parable of the sower. We need to watch out for those weeds coming into our structure and choking it. The world has that ability with its very tempting nature. We need to trust in God. He will provide. We've just seen that. He knows our needs. So instead of seeking those things in the world, we can go and follow Jesus, can't we? We should be seeking the kingdom of God by reading the word of God. As baptized Christadelphians, that's what we're living our lives for. That time when that pain and suffering is no more. We pray for that time to come soon. Whilst we wait, Let's ensure we're wise and not foolish. Let's check our foundations. Are they deep enough? Is our structure strong enough to stand tall when those rains come, the floods come? I'll end with this. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.